Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cemetery Podcast. I am your host, Ken Negley from the Necrotourist. And today we are going to be discussing one of the oldest African-American cemeteries in Ohio. One of the most sought after graves in the St. Louis area that we went after. We are also going to be discussing the Kentucky Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and we have tales to tell you because this week, the Necrotourist celebrates an important anniversary. We have all that and so much more, so be sure to stick around for this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the show. We are going to be doing a few different things this week. I am going to let you guys know that starting next week, we're going to be doing some interviews. So we will be adding that to the broadcast in itself. And we will be adding a few segments and possibly taking a few segments away based upon what you guys are thinking as listeners. So be sure to get back with us and let us know. Don't forget that you guys can always email us and or get a hold of us on Facebook, either on the Necrotourist or at Cemetery Podcast, either or. Also, don't forget we still have the contest going for the Sugar Skull t-shirt. There's only 1 week left in that, so be sure to get involved in that. I'm sure we'll be playing a promo a little bit later. I am going to answer one email this week, and this is actually something that's been floating around on the Necrotourist websites, on the Facebook pages. We've been talking about what are some of the most famous graves in a particular area. So this goes to the email that was sent to me from Chris from Bloomington, Indiana. And Chris said, who do you think is the most famous grave in Indiana? Now, I will tell you, Chris, that all week long, we've had a poll going, and we still have the poll going. As a matter of fact, if you're part of our Indiana's group, or Indiana Cemeteries group on Facebook, you can vote right now. The three leaders right now are James Dean. It is also John Dillinger and Johnny Appleseed are the three that are leading. Now, personally, for my own sake, the person that has impacted American culture and history more than any of the other people, I might say Johnny Appleseed. A close second, I'm going to go with Benjamin Harrison as far as Indianapolis people go. So that's just my opinion. So, Chris, there you go. Who did I think was the most famous? Those guys. I get Dillinger and James Dean, but I kind of wonder if within a generation of fans, how important James Dean is really going to be to the American lexicon as much as he is right now. Just an opinion, also just a thought. Also, we do know that it's wintertime out there, so anybody who is shooting wintertime cemetery pictures, I'd also like to encourage you to join us. We have a winter cemeteries group on Facebook, or you can share them on the Necrotourist or a variety of places. And also, since the vast majority of the country has been suffering a lot of damage, you know, maybe over the coming weeks, I'd like to start seeing if you guys find any damage amongst the cemeteries in the areas where you're from, no matter where it is in the country. This is not just an Ohio show, even though we do talk about Ohio a lot because it is our home area. We do travel all over the country. As a matter of fact, we've been to, as we'll talk about later, we've been to over 20 states around the country. So don't hesitate to think that we may or may not have been in your area. If you have information or stories you'd like to share or pictures you'd like to share, please do so. You can easily do that, again, on the Necrotourist on Facebook or the Cemetery Podcast on Facebook.
Here's the Necrotourist with another cemetery hunting tip.
All right, everybody. Today's hunting tip is going to be carry a gallon of water in your car. Now, yes, obviously you don't want to do that during the winter time, but when you're out during your normal hunting months, be sure you have that gallon of water with you. You never really know when you're going to come across a grave that is so dirty that you're at least going to have to wash it off or at least get some kind of water on it to be able to just photograph it. Now, it would suggest you carry a small nylon brush that is non-metal, again, a non-metal brush, something as soft bristled that if you need to scrub, but at a minimum, always carry a gallon of water so that you're ready to wash off them stones to get the best quality pictures you can. All right, everybody, right now we are going to feature what is the famous grave of the week, and in light of the fact that it is Black History Month, we are going to feature one of the people that I truly have heard about my entire life when it came to Black history, but I've always wanted to know more about, and he became a target for my necrotourism visits. And it is none other than Dred Scott. Yes, that Dred Scott. Dred Scott was born in 1799, and he was a man who was known for filing and fighting civil suits from 1846 up until 1857 to be able to attain freedom for him and his family from slavery. Over the period of 11 years, he had several trials culminating in the landmark Supreme Court case, Dred Scott versus Sanford. Now, Scott was not given immediate relief. However, he and his family were then deeded to Taylor Blow, who was his original owner, Peter Blow's son. Now, Taylor eventually legally freed him on May 26, 1857, but his freedom was very short-lived because Dred Scott actually died of tuberculosis in September of 1858. Originally, Scott was interred in the Wesleyan Cemetery in St. Louis, but that cemetery closed approximately 9 years later. So Taylor Blow then transferred Scott's coffin to an unmarked plot in the nearby Catholic Calvary Cemetery where he is today, because it was permitted for non-Catholic slaves to be buried by Catholic owners. Now his grave pretty much remained unmarked for nearly 100 years. When in 1957 his grave was rediscovered, it was properly marked and flowers were put on it to mark the ceremony of the centennial of the case. His wife, Harriet Scott, was buried in Greenwood Cemetery in Hillsdale, Missouri, and she outlived her husband by almost 18 years. So a cenotaph was placed for Harriet right next to Dred's grave in 1999. However, aside from the several other famous people that you need to see in Calvary Cemetery, when you are in St. Louis visiting Calvary, you must make a stop at the grave of a famous American, none other than Dred Scott.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be the announcement for the contest. If you are trying to win our Sugar Skull t-shirt, then this is what you need to do. Go to the Facebook page for the Cemetery Podcast, which is facebook.com/cemetery-podcast. Like the page. Then go down to the photos and you will find the picture of the Crazy Horse Memorial. When you do, like the picture and in the comments section, tag yourself. If you tag yourself in the photo and like the page, you are then entered for the contest. We will be drawing for the contest winner at the end of February. You can be a winner with the Cemetery Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the show. Right now, we're going to be focusing on the feature cemetery of the day, and it is none other than the Union Baptist Cemetery in Cincinnati, Ohio, in Hamilton County. This is a cemetery that is in my hometown. As a matter of fact, it's truly just a few miles away from where I grew up. But as I always say, you know, you don't know what you don't know until it's time for you to know it. And now may be the time for you to know the Union Baptist Cemetery is the oldest Baptist African-American cemetery in Cincinnati. It was established in 1864, and it was added to the National Registry on September 20th, 2002. It is approximately 12 acres in size, and it is a very historic and prominent cemetery that if you were in the Cincinnati area, you should visit. There are actually some quite amazingly famous people, famous figures in African American history, famous figures in U.S. history. One of the most interesting, I actually only learned about him a couple of years ago, David L. Nickens. He is actually the first minister of the Union Baptist Church. There is also the Honorable George Hayes. He died in 1933. He was actually a former slave, and he was the first black court crier. He later served three terms. Yes, I said three terms in the Ohio General Assembly as a Republican. Yes, did you hear what I said? The Ohio General Assembly as a black Republican. Hayes actually has an elementary school in Cincinnati that's named after him. Another very important and significant figure that is buried there is none other than Jenny Porter. Jenny Porter was an educator, and she's actually the founder of the Harriet Beecher Stowe School. And two of the most amazing people that I think we found out in recent times is about Edith Fawcett. She was a famed cook at Thomas Jefferson's White House, and then later she was the head cook at Monticello. Then her husband, Joseph Fawcett, was freed upon Jefferson's death, and he was a highly regarded blacksmith at Monticello, and he earned money and such while he was doing things, so he was able to buy his wife, five of his children, and four of his grandchildren from their owners. So the Fawcetts lived long enough to see almost all of their children removed from slavery and become free citizens in Ohio. And yes, they are buried in Union Baptist. Now, one of the most famous people that is buried there is Powhatan Beatty. And he is a Medal of Honor recipient, and he is quite an interesting character. We recently did a feature on him, and he is a very interesting story. He is one of the top reasons you want to go check this place out, believe me. There's also 150 members of the U.S. Colored Troops that fought during the Civil War. Now, when you go there, you will see a variety of markers. I've seen all kinds, from everything to handmade markers to wood. There are brick markers there. Some markers are even just animals and names etched into stones. I mean, there is a variety of things. This cemetery used to be located, or part of it did, was located in downtown Cincinnati near the Union Baptist Church, but it later was moved up to Cleves-Warsaw Road on the west side of Cincinnati, right near Glenway and Cleves-Warsaw. Now, you know, in recent times, the cemetery has fallen into disrepair, just like a lot of black cemeteries have. There are things going on that they're trying to rehab it, fundraisers and things of that nature. And the government is looking into providing some funding to help out black cemeteries. But when you are in the Cincinnati area, especially if you're from the Cincinnati area, you do need to stop by and pay a visit to one of the oldest black cemeteries in the Midwest, and it is the Union Baptist Cemetery. Hey, Necro Travelers, are you aware that the Necro Tourist does private tours at cemeteries around the Cincinnati area? Not only Cincinnati, but we do tours at cemeteries all around the Midwest, to include Indianapolis, Columbus, Louisville, Lexington, and more. Be sure to visit our website, or you can find us on TripAdvisor. Cemetery tours at the Wesleyan Cemetery and other cemeteries in Cincinnati. You can learn some history, and you can have yourself a good time on a cemetery tour with the Necro Tourist. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk to you now about arguably one of the most interesting military memorials I have ever laid eyes upon. when we were traveling through Kentucky, which we've done many a times, it's a neighboring state to our home state of Ohio, and we were traveling through Frankfort, Kentucky, which is the state capital. Now, in between cemeteries that we were visiting, the Frankfort Cemetery is one we need to see, and nearby a few others are there. So we happened to notice on our maps that there was a Kentucky Vietnam Veterans Memorial. Now, you know, we've seen several. I'm not trying to downgrade anyone's memorial. I've seen lots of them there. They've been all kinds, you know, some of them are small little things, you know, statues of men, big, huge statues, you know, huge things like we've seen in D.C. But when we went here, and when I got out of the car, one of the first things that I saw was it was like a giant sundial. And when I first looked at it, I really didn't think it was that impressive till I started to look at it and see some of the intricacies and some of the things that were actually happening with what was entailed with this very thought out and meaningful Vietnam Veterans Monument. I'm going to give you some facts intertwined with some information from my observations. Actually, as I did say, this is located in Frankfort, Kentucky, which is Kentucky's state capital. It is one of the most visited landmarks in the Commonwealth. And yes, Kentucky is not a state, it is a commonwealth. It actually opened in 1988. It is one of the largest granite memorials in the United States, and it has an impressive overlook of the state capital in Frankfort. Now, it actually honors the over 125,000 Kentuckians who served in the Vietnam era, which is 1962 through 1975. 1,108 Kentucky veterans who died during the Vietnam War, and each veteran's name is precisely engraved on the granite so that the shadow of the sundial precisely points and touches their name on the anniversary of each soldier's death. Therefore, each soldier whose name is in the monument actually truly gets his own moment on the sundial. There were 327 custom panels that were made for this that weighed more than 215 tons. Now, another interesting feature is the fact that all the POW and MIA soldiers, they have their names engraved on a stone that is located behind the gnomon, which is the big sundial itself. Their names are to the south, then that way that the dial will never actually fall on their names because they're still lost or missing or unaccounted for. Now, all the engraving is done is actually done in the style, military style lettering. It was actually designed by a man named Helm Roberts. He was a Lexington architect and a veteran, and he won the commission for the monument. And he designed it so that, quote, every day is Memorial Day in Kentucky. And that's quite impressive. I have to tell you, if you were in the Frankfort area, you need to see this. Take some time to really see what's there and absorb what's going on. It's an experience that, you know, it will touch your heart. It's one of the most, honestly, touching and heartfelt memorials to soldiers that I've ever seen in my life. It's one that is highly encouraged on our list of necrotourism places to visit. Ladies and gentlemen, today's Medal of Honor moment goes to Webster Anderson. Webster Anderson was born in July of 1933 in Winnsboro County and died in 2003 in Fairfield County. He served in the 101st Airborne Division. He served from 1953 through 1968. He was in the Korean War as well as the Vietnam War, and he also received a Purple Heart. His story is such In October of 1967, Anderson's artillery unit was attacked by the North Vietnamese forces. Anderson directed the defenses of his unit's position and continued to lead after twice being severely wounded. And despite losing both of his legs and part of his arm, he survived his wounds and was promoted to the rank of Sergeant First Class. He was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions during the battle. He spent a year in the hospital after his heroics in Vietnam and was later fitted with prosthetics. He finished his life out as a TV repairman. He is buried in the Black Jack Baptist Church Cemetery in Winnsboro, South Carolina. Hey, Necro Travelers. We're going to start a new segment on the show that focuses on a veteran. Not necessarily a famous veteran, just someone who defended our country and is now no longer with us. So if you have a grave of a veteran that you would like to be featured on the Cemetery Podcast, then please send that to us either in an MP3 form as an audio or send it to us a video and we'll turn it into an audio file. We'd appreciate that. You can message those to us on the Cemetery Podcast and or the Necro Tourist. I would like to invite you all to check out a friend of mine, Tracy Rylands, who does an amazing website called Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. She has visited around the country, dozens of states, and she writes extensive articles and does photography as well. Be sure again to check out her website at adventuresincemeteryhopping.com.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right, everybody, we're coming to the final segment of the show, which is always one of my favorite segments because it's where I get to tell a story about an adventure from the Necro Tourist and some of the things that we've done over the last 5 to 6 years. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this story is some of you have listened to this show for the last few weeks, but in the beginning of the broadcast, we did 3 episodes that were preview episodes. Now, while I was doing these, I kind of told a little bit of the background of what the Necro Tourist was and why it was, but I was quickly trying to tell a story. So I'm going to tell this story to you just over again for those of you who have not heard it. For those of you that have, I apologize. Maybe I'll add some details that you didn't hear the first time around. But let me say that one of the reasons we got started doing this is because for nearly a decade, we did a website called The Funeral Source. We still do the website. It is a information page about funerals. As a matter of fact, for you older folks, I used to always say when we started it that The Funeral Source was the encyclopedia of funerals. These days, I have to say it's the Wikipedia of funerals because I don't even know if anybody under 25 even knows what an encyclopedia is. That being said, one of the reasons we started doing this is really, as I said, we were an information resource that was out there to capture details and information about situations about funerals and burials. So since we lived in Cincinnati, and since we're based out of Cincinnati, we have a lot of funeral homes, and we also have the Cincinnati Mortuary College here, which in turn has caused a lot of cemeteries and independent funeral homes. We actually have more funeral homes in the Cincinnati area than most other places, and it purely is because it is a large Catholic town, A, and B, because the Mortuary College. So that being said, when we started gathering information around the Cincinnati area, we really just started traveling to the local cemeteries to gather information. As a matter of fact, just like a photo of the gate and maybe a famous statue or something, just to go, this is cemetery blah blah blah, here's a picture, here's a description of it. Well, we never really thought that much about it, but as we started doing some of these photo shoots, I started sharing some of the photos on the Facebook page for the Funeral Source. And slowly but surely, we started to get comments from people that we knew around the globe because, of course, the Funeral Source you know, funerals are not limited to the United States or Cincinnati. They're global. And we had people, we truly have people that follow us from all over the globe. And people in Europe especially started commenting about some of the photos we were taking. After that, I started to get a little more serious about the cemetery photos themselves. And as a matter of fact, we had decided in February of 2015 that we were going to travel around Ohio to shoot the graves of all the presidents, because some of you may or may not know, but we have quite a few presidents buried here. We have Harrison in Cincinnati. We have Hayes up in Fremont. McKinley is in Canton, Ohio. Harding is in Marion, Ohio. So we decided that we were going to knock all these guys out in one day. Now, coincidentally, this was one of the coldest days. I mean, literally, you know, they talk about the phrase of hell freezing over. This felt like one of those days. It was about 10 degrees outside, and there were sustained winds in northern Ohio that day of about 20 miles an hour. So we spent the entire day cemetery hunting these presidents across the entire state of Ohio, basically on a two-day trip going north to south. And we were freezing, and it was insane. My travel partner, Charlotte Grave, she was attacked by red squirrels while we were at Hayes' grave. There was insane things happening that day, but it was just incredibly cold. Now, that being said, at that point, you know, I actually have videos that we shot, because the very first two videos we ever shot for the Necrotourist are not actually the Necrotourist. They are actually me doing the report for the funeral source. So it was after that we started having discussions with some of the fans and some of the regular people that follow the funeral source, and they wanted to know if we were going to do more of this. And I never really thought that much about it until people started pointing out the fact that, you know, when we go to visit these cemeteries and such, it's kind of interesting when we visit the famous graves. I, again, didn't assign that much priority to the idea of famous graves, because I really just wanted to grab presidents for historical value. Now, another thing started happening when I started making some of these road trips. I would tell friends of mine and other people I knew the tales of what we were doing, and these guys proceeded to tell me, hey, you know, this is like back in the day when you used to do radio. You're telling us stories about the things you're doing while you're on your necro travelers, while you're on your, you know, your cemetery travels, your necrotourism visits. And it dawned on me that really that's what people were interested in: the history, the information, and the famous people that you can track down, find, or go visit. I never realized when we started this that necrotourism was an entire subculture of travel. I really was surprised to know that there are hundreds of thousands of people every year that travel around to do nothing but this. So then it occurred to me, while I was looking around trying to find information, there wasn't a lot out there. Because you guys got to even understand, 5 years ago, everyone's beloved Find a Grave wasn't even that built up. It was still relatively low. So you had to go out and about and find information. And this is a type of travel that the local travel board usually doesn't seem that supportive of. Now, if they actually knew the people that were coming to their town for that reason, they might be a little more inviting to us, but they seem not to be. That being said, I had decided that since it was really hard to get some of this information, maybe everybody kind of needed a tour guide to be able to give them hints and tips about what are the best ways to visit certain cemeteries, or if you needed to get in to visit this person's grave, how would you do it, and exactly where is it? Because again, back to Find a Grave, one of the things you guys very well know, if you are a famous grave hunter, that if you go to look for somebody's grave, they're often flat graves in a memorial park, and somebody will actually show you the top of the grave, but they never show you another single picture. So they expect you to find a flat grave in a entire cemetery of flat graves, and they don't give you any other perspective. We've actually, in our photography, went so far as when we shoot photos, we sometimes put fingers up pointing at the grave so that you have a little better information. some of what's out there, it's available, it's really tough. So that's really what we wanted to do. We wanted to become a more or less a tour guide for necro travelers because we were a necro tourist. Now, I want to point something out to you guys, and this is important when it comes to the difference between necro tourism and dark tourism. You know, we are really close cousins and friends in that nature. But usually when I hear people discussing dark tourism, they like to visit murder sites and places where, you know, Lizzie Borden chopped up her family. No, I'm not telling you someone that's a necro traveler won't go see those places, but that's not really what we're about. I truly feel that necro travelers are people that, just as it is, people that are travelers for the dead. And most necro travelers respect the dead. That's why we go to places like museums and monuments and cemeteries and places that honor the dead. So I really feel like a necro traveler honors the dead, and dark travelers kind of love the dead. So they're actually necrophiliacs in a way. Nah, just kidding you guys. I love you. I kid you because I love you. I did tell you about the past, and I'm going to tell you about the future, because right now we are starting into our sixth year of this. We're going to be doing a lot more traveling. As you know, the podcast is new, and we are going to be doing more videos, and we have lots of things on the horizon that are going to change what the Necro Tourist does. We really invite you to stick by us through the podcast as it evolves, and if there's anything that you would like to see this program do, or you would like to see the Necro Tourist do, please don't hesitate to message us. We are always looking for new ideas. We're always looking for expansion, ways to expound our knowledge, because we are cemetery experts after this. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have visited 1,118 cemeteries in 22 states during the course of this venture. We have shot thousands of famous people. People that you've forgotten about, people that we discover along the way. We are constantly searching for cemeteries and famous people and not so famous people to shoot along the way, because you never know what kind of chemistry you're going to find when you walk into a cemetery. The one thing that I want to try to accomplish on this show for you is to not be boring. I love cemeteries. I'm passionate about cemeteries, and I want to share that passion with you. Now, if you share that passion for cemeteries with me, then I encourage you to join me as much as you can. Get out there, enjoy the cemeteries in your town. Help out with the restoration projects in your community, and if there aren't any, get yourself involved. There's plenty of ways, plenty of things going on, and if there's not, maybe it's time to contact your local government and make sure something goes on. Now, we have several things that are going to be going on in 2021. We had projects lined up for 2020, but as with many of you, COVID has stopped that and slowed things down. But we are here this year with a vengeance. So be sure to stick with us. Find out what's going on. I really want to encourage you to be interactive with us. We're going to be doing these new things in the coming weeks. Cemetery Saturday nights, we're going to try to have live discussions, and we're going to do live events. You know, everybody's live on in the groups and things of that nature. So we're going to be doing it too, to discuss the people we do. And I'll tell you something else interesting coming up. We have a group in Facebook called Cemetery Love, and it was really meant for people who love cemeteries. But people keep saying to me, I thought when I first went there, this is a group about dating with cemeteries. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. And if you're interested in this idea, hit us up on the messenger. But this is something we're really considering. You know, a lot of times when you meet somebody, you know, and you have a hobby that a lot of people consider strange. And let's be real, as much as it's unfair, there's a lot of people that visit cemeteries that other people look at as like, oh, yeah, visit a cemetery? That's kind of weird. Well, most of us that do, we don't think it's weird. Now, wouldn't it be nice to know when you actually met somebody that subject is off the table? So that the moment you meet, you know you both love cemeteries and necrotourist activity, so you don't have to worry about it. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be exploring the idea of actually kind of having a dating situation where people who love cemeteries can meet up in cemeteries and maybe find some cemetery love. I don't know. Things like that are on the burner. We've got a lot of things coming up for 2021. We've got a lot of trips planned. We're going to be traveling around the country. We've got trips to Georgia, Texas, Canada, Milwaukee. That's right. What made Milwaukee famous is a bunch of dead beer brewers. That's what made them famous. But we have a lot of things we're going to do this year. Hopefully, we're going to wrap up about five more presidents. We have a Northeast trip coming up. We have so many things on the agenda. I just really want to encourage you to stick with us. There will be changes over the coming months with our website because actually the server that we have used for 25 years has decided to change the way we're doing web pages. So I want you to be aware our website will change over the coming months. Things may be changing, but stick with us on our social media pages. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and also Pinterest, but mostly Facebook and Twitter is where we are. So stick around for the future. We have a lot of great things coming up. Again, any suggestions, hit us up. Let us know. But in the meantime, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this show. I really enjoy doing this. You know, many of you don't know, I did radio for years. So this is just like doing radio on a specialized subject. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your patience. And I've enjoyed every minute of this, and I hope that you are enjoying it too. All right. Once again, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to this week's show. I appreciate everybody who joined us. I hope you learned something. I hope you found it entertaining and fun. I also would like to encourage you to join us next week when we will be joined by Tracy Rylands from Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. I also would like to encourage you to visit the website. I would like to thank everybody who's on the crew, Charlotte Graves, my announcer, Ray Morales, and thank you all for joining me. You can join me every Thursday night. On behalf of the Cemetery Podcast and the Necrotourist, this is Ken Negley saying, I'll see you in the yard.